Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I won't say all of it because I got a guest on the phone, but the bottom line is we know you guys are out there on radio. We know you're on podcasting. We know you're live streaming the show. End result is wherever all of you audience members are, we love you. We appreciate you. You're the reason why we do what we do. So thank you very much. Hey, I'm going to bring somebody on here momentarily who has been a sponsor on the show now for quite a while. And Inspire Advisors is actually very cool. I mean, everybody has an opportunity to hopefully invest in their own retirement at some point or set aside for the future or, you know, work the market and try to have a responsible way of doing that. And sometimes you never know what you're investing in. You're just doing the best you can with the market. Well, what if you could also sort of back that up with what they call it, Inspire Advisors, biblically responsible investing. So I say all that to say, we're pretty excited to have him as a sponsor on the show. He also sponsors JP on sports every Friday. But the other day I told JP, I said, I want to do the thing on this cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin, Doge, all those. I have no idea how to talk about it. I feel like I should, but I don't. And to me, it feels like monopoly money. It feels like a thing that's not real. Like you look at it and go, okay, how is that? Where do you keep it? Well, I thought, wait a minute, hang on a second. We can call Paul and see if he does. And he said, sure enough, I'll come on. So yeah, I'm going to quit talking right now and just say, welcome back to the show, Paul Breyer. How are you?
I'm doing well, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for making some time for us on this most esoteric kind of nebulous topic of cryptocurrency. Is it monopoly money? Is it real? Can you spend it? Listen, give us a 101, dude.
Okay. Yeah, when you said that earlier, when we were off air, it's like, yeah, it does seem like a lot. And you know, you're not alone. There's a lot of folks. It's just not mainstream yet. You know, you hear about it, but you really just kind of go, yeah, okay, whatever. It's not real. It's real money's in my pocket. You know, it's in my bank. This crypto stuff, I just don't know what it is. But, you know, it's an emerging or has been emerging for quite a while now as another type of asset class. But let's start with defining our terms. You know, what does cryptocurrency and crypto actually mean? I mean, I guess generically, when you're talking about crypto, I mean, it really encompasses any digital asset now that's secured by cryptography or blockchain technology. You know, that covers currencies, stable coins, which you've been hearing about with the Genius Act, tokens, and the like. But, you know, I guess really one of the important parts under that is the blockchain. So what is that? And, you know, if you just think of a simple analogy for it, think of a chain of cubes linked together by cryptographic encryption. And, you know, it forms the digital transaction ledger for all of these digital asset transactions. And that ledger is distributed across the entire internet. So there's thousands of computing nodes that are all validating those transactions on that ledger all the time. So it's extremely hard to defraud the system because of that and because of the encryption. So... You know, that piece, that infrastructure part, that's really the part that's going to revolutionize traditional finance as we know it. It takes out the middlemen. You know, I don't know how much you guys know about, I think most people don't know how our current financial infrastructure is put together, but it's pretty antiquated. You know, there's a lot of middlemen, there's a bunch of fees, it's slow, it's open only certain times of the day. You know, this whole blockchain technology push is going to streamline a lot of that. You know, it becomes peer-to-peer, it becomes 24/7, more people can get access to it. That whole infrastructure is going to change. And that's really where stable coins come in, but that's a whole nother topic.
So I guess for what I'm hearing you say, and the fact that President Trump came out recently and sort of endorsed the concept of moving, because he used to be a skeptic on cryptocurrency and now he's not. But I guess what I'm hearing is this is not a fad. This is not a fly by night or a Ponzi scheme. It really is something that's probably not going away. Am I right?
It is not going away.
Okay.
You know, as far as it affecting you personally day to day, I don't think that we're going to see that for a while. I think where most of the transformation is going to happen is the bigger players and international business and banks. That's where it's going to change a lot. And then over time, it's going to hit us.
Okay. Well, that being said, what do you do with it? I mean, so one of the things in my reading, just trying to get ready so I can at least have a conversation with you. My understanding is you can do it individually, or you can also go through a broker. But then you're really doing an online transaction. You're not going down to the bank like you said earlier and walking in the door to have a transaction. Am I right?
That's correct. And well, think about your dollars today. You know, U.S. dollars. I mean, they're pretty much digital already.
True.
I mean, how much cash do you carry around in your pocket?
That's true. I was the guy who for years was like the old grump who would say, I'm always carrying cash, and I never carry cash anymore.
Yeah, my granddad used to have the big roll of bills in his pocket, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah. The money clip. Yeah. Well, all right. So if somebody wants to get into Bitcoin, can you just start? I mean, like what do you do? How do you do it? And then how do you advance the capabilities of it?
Yeah. First off, I'd say the best thing to do is get educated. There's a ton of resources out there to just get through the 101. I mean, and I did this the other day. You can go into like ChatGPT or somebody like that and just put in, give me the Bitcoin 101, and it'll just spew out a whole bunch of very basic information, which is extremely relevant. So, yeah, number one, get educated. Number two, there's a couple of ways you can get invested in cryptocurrency and other crypto tokens, either through broker-dealers, or also exchanges that specialize in cryptocurrencies, like Coinbase or others. There's a number of ways to do that. Some of the bigger players, like our custodians, Charles Schwab, they're starting to get into the stablecoin arena. So they're going to start competing with some of these smaller crypto exchanges that are out there. But yes, you're correct, Phil. You just open an account like you would anywhere else. You turn your fiat dollars into crypto dollars and back again that way.
Well, all right. So if that's the case, Where do you keep it? Like, I guess part of me, I'm not so antiquated that I can't picture it, because I do online banking. Like, I pay all my bills online. It's not like I write a check anymore to my power company or whatever else when I pay bills monthly. And I don't see a paycheck. It's direct deposited into the same account that I then send checks out of, but I never have to do anything except go online to do it. But where do you keep your cryptocurrency? How do you know it's yours and it's secure if banks are not the ones doing it for you?
Yeah. See, I think you're hitting on, is it actually money?
Yeah.
I think the answer, especially in the cryptocurrency space, it's more speculative asset class than anything. I mean, think of Bitcoin, $120,000 a Bitcoin. It used to be pennies since 2009. So it's not stable enough to be money. And so not many people use it or adopt it as using it as money to pay your power bill. They're going to convert it into US dollars first, and then go pay the power bill.
All right. So if you got that in what you're saying, but you can still use it for some expenses. Like I've seen online where you can buy a car with it. You can transfer it into a Venmo. How do you cash out basically if you want to use it? It's out there. You have this alleged crypto wallet, but how do you get to it if you want to cash out and go buy a house? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah. So, couple of ways that I think people store their cryptocurrencies, offline in a hardware wallet, like a thumb drive or something like that, keep it off the internet. And I think other ways, you have a soft wallet that's, connected to the internet, so you can actually transact with it. a little sketchy on that myself, to be honest with you, but that's my understanding of it. But yeah, it all depends on who is adopting that as a way to get payment. And yeah, there's some that actually will take Bitcoins or Ethereum or something, you know, for actual payments, and do all that transactional math behind the scenes.
And if you just want cash, let's say you have a medical bill, you just want cash. What do? Do you transfer it to like a Venmo and then pay it from there, or PayPal? I've seen PayPal, Venmo, and some of the other major like money transfer software exchanges. They allow you to import your worth or your value of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, right?
Actually, you know more about that than I do. So that's
interesting. That is not saying much, brother. Well, this whole thing, so you're a money manager. You're an investment portfolio guy. You help people, you know, to find their way forward in proper investing and responsible investing, really. Is this the kind of thing that if somebody wants to be speculative, if somebody wants to sort of play with a little extra cash and they can do, is this a way to go yet? Is it the kind of thing that people like you even advise people to look at? Or are you still more along the lines of traditional market analysis and investment?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great question. A lot of folks have actually been coming to me and asking me about this, so it's very relevant. And I do advise folks on, you know, how to construct, like I call it, like a satellite portfolio in cryptocurrencies or stable coins now. So, yes, I think it is going to be, and Wall Street's onto this too. They're starting to make this into a, you know, an everyday asset class like anything else, stocks or bonds or whatever. They even have an options market going for crypto. So we're going to see this a lot more, and it's going to start to filter into 401ks and everything else.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. Listen, I guess for a well-rounded portfolio, it's one more thing to add to the mix. But that's just cool. Okay. So I feel better talking to you because, like I said, even though President Trump, who I deeply respect and he's the president of the free world, stood up and gave a speech about it, having somebody that I know that actually helps people with investments say, it's real, it's not going away, that makes it feel a little more tangible, I guess.
Okay, good. I'm glad that helped.
Well, yeah, I am too. All right, brother. Well, listen, that is huge. Inspire Advisors, you guys are awesome. Thank you for what you do. I know your website, I tell people all the time, is www.moneypatternwealth.com. But Paul Breyer, Inspire Advisors, thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Take care, Paul. See you. Wow. All right. I'm still wondering, on the one hand, though, if you just want to do something, if you want to like sort of play with it, so to speak, do you just go say, hey, here's $20. I'm going to buy me some Bitcoin and then buy, sell, and trade. And it sounds like that's like you can do that at home, sitting on the computer, drinking a cup of coffee and trying to make money with it.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but if only Bitcoin was $20. Bitcoin is a lot.
Okay.
So I think if you really want to get into crypto, it's sort of you gotta really have the money.
You gotta come in hard.
Yeah, you gotta have the money in the first place. Yeah.
So you're not doing penny stocks here, huh?
No, yeah, definitely not.
Wow. All right. Well, take me to a break, JP. We'll come right back. And I got some stories on this. So one of the reasons why I know it's a big deal is because A, I got one story that says you can lose it. B, I got another one story says somebody can be arrested for mismanagement of it. And then, you know, then there's the President of the United States even talking about it. Apparently it's real. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Cryptocurrency 101. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Check it. Text it and tell me if any of you've got crypto. I'd love to know if some of y'all had a good or bad experience investing in cryptocurrency. JP and I actually just talked about it during the break. Sometimes you gotta wonder, is your brain even wired to do this? I mean, I look at it as the kind of thing where, all right, do I give somebody $50 and say, go buy me some crypto and manage it for me? Do I sit there on the computer and start learning it myself and, you know, drop $50 off of PayPal into some account that I set up? It's all brand new to me. One thing we did talk about during the break is apparently you don't have to have big money to start. You can start in some, depending on what broker you use, you can start like as low as a couple of bucks or something. You got to watch it though.
See, I didn't even know that. I mean, it makes sense, but I've always seen the one share of Bitcoin as like 100. I think right now today it's $113,000. And I kind of just, you know, always saw that and figured it was like you got to have money to play crypto sort of, but I guess not.
Like what I read to you during the break, I looked it up on my phone literally while we were talking during the break, and that's how novice I am at this.
Yeah.
But it literally says you can start with next to nothing, and when you do, what you're doing is you're buying a share of Bitcoin, so to speak. It's almost like you're buying stock is what it sounds like. And I did hear the market is volatile. It goes up and down, which I wonder why. I mean, market forces are doing this to it?
If you look at the Bitcoin market today, it has plummeted today.
Really?
For some reason. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you why, but it is very volatile.
That's crazy. Okay. Listen, if you got a good experience or a bad experience with Bitcoin or with any other cryptocurrency format, I'd like to know. 833-687-4448. This is not an investment show, but we are an informational show. We're also a conservative content generator show. And when I see the President of the United States, who I trust eminently, especially when he's a billionaire and a noted investor himself, I look at it and go, okay, he was a skeptic. He actually was. He was a skeptic, and now apparently he's not. In fact, let me say that while I bring up the article that I've got on it right here in my calloused former paratrooper hands. ABC News had an article, Dateline, 2 days ago, which is what got me into this. This is the article that prompted me to say, or the storyline that prompted me to say to JP the other day, we got to find somebody who can talk crypto. ABC News had this piece. It says that a White House cryptocurrency report was unveiled on Wednesday of this week, offers the first detailed framework for regulators and legislators to execute President Donald Trump's pledge to bolster the American digital assets landscape. But it does omit any new details on a controversial plan to develop a federal digital asset stockpile. All right, so the two pieces there, as I understand it, are the Trump administration realizes that it's like the Wild West right now in some ways on cryptocurrency, which is what a lot of people want. A lot of people don't want the government coming in and regulating it. They don't want to suddenly have to be subject to the whims of regulators and the Federal Reserve and whatever else. That being said, there are others who are screaming for somebody to regulate it because of things that are happening, like what I'm going to read you out in a minute about a story about a guy who scammed a bunch of people. But the other piece of this is there has been discussion. Trump has even floated the idea of making this a part of the federal assets of the U.S. government, like gold, like silver, like, you know, energy sector, like, oh, by the way, cryptocurrency. Are we going to see the Treasury Department managing vast swaths of crypto on behalf of the federal government? I just don't know that's a good idea, but apparently that's why it's not a part of the report. But anyway, it says in the article, once a crypto skeptic, Trump has ordered his administration to supercharge the U.S. cryptocurrency industry, rolling back some regulatory enforcements and championing legislation that would broaden its accessibility and appeal. So he's actually rolling back some, putting other regulations in, trying to create a uniform format for it. And I'll tell you what else he's trying to do. He's trying to get ahead, almost like artificial intelligence. He's trying to stay ahead of the rest of the world to make sure that America is the leader in something that is gaining worldwide traction. Critics are also all just like, you know, the usual TDS kicks in. Critics are absolutely determined that all he's doing is enriching himself, which is just completely asinine because he's not sitting there drinking a cup of coffee at 4 a.m. and trying to do his crypto. He's working on something that is better for everybody. Freedom, innovation, and financial integrity, he calls it. More on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. Hour number two on a Friday. We're still in Dipper number one, talking about cryptocurrency 101. First, I'll be honest with you. A lot of times I come into the show feeling like I've been the one who's gotten ready to give you all my thoughts on it. This is one where I'm getting educated as we go. I feel like I have learned, like, well, that's why I called it Cryptocurrency 101 today. I read up to get ready to have a conversation with a guy who was more ready than me. That'd be Paul Breyer. And then even during the breaks, JP and I have looked up a couple more things to make sure. And then you guys are texting in like crazy right now. I want to hear some Bitcoin response, 833-687-4448. I say cryptocurrency response, I mean. 833-68-RIGHT. Tell us your experience with it, good, bad, or indifferent. I got a story here. Just so you know, part of the way you can tell it's becoming a real thing is when the criminals turn up. Just saying. So if you're going to jump into this, make sure you know where you're jumping in. So, story that came out yesterday. I got this off of local news in Houston. Actually, the story came out of Cypress, Texas, which is a Houston suburb, I believe. A years-long investigation by federal and state authorities in Georgia, actually, has led to the indictment and arrest of a 42-year-old Texan in Cypress, Texas, who allegedly helped run a fraudulent cryptocurrency business. I mean, listen, he and several others are now facing 91-count indictment, a 91-count federal indictment, as they arrested people from something like nine different states, all of whom were apparently leaders of this company that called it XUSD Blockchain Holdings. And they were allegedly selling cryptocurrency. What they were really doing was taking money. And they were creating the whole new coin. It was going to be the thing. You get in now while you can, because when you get in, you'll be in early and you'll have the best, and then you can double your money. Anyway, people were investing like crazy. We're talking like they are now, what was it, something like hundreds of millions of dollars, I think. He was driving a $200,000 Range Rover. We have victims that lost upwards of $3 million. This is just unreal. But yeah, they were literally just like robbing people left and right, claiming to be a cryptocurrency exchange. The other thing you have to look at is the fact that I mentioned the U.S. government is diving right in, but then there's stories like this. This is the most bizarre story. And I got to tell you, it also is the cautionary tale. Because sometimes what looks like something to you may be nothing to somebody else. Classic example is a story I pulled off the BBC. Dateline, 1 month ago. 1 month ago, I'm sorry, 2 months ago, a documentary is now being made about the man who lost a hard drive containing 570 million pounds worth of Bitcoin. If you heard it a moment ago, apparently what the term of art here is you have your cryptocurrency wallet. That's what I'm learning. And your cryptocurrency wallet typically comes in two forms, as I understand it. Notice how I caveat all my statements. As I understand it, you can have a hard wallet or a soft wallet. Soft wallet being online. Kind of picture your online banking. You log in, you see it, and you log back out. It's password protected. Only people you give access to can get to it. Other people actually store their stuff, believe it or not, in a hard crypto wallet, which is like having a portable hard drive or some even have just a thumb drive. But typically speaking, I think what you're looking at is one of those like multi-gig hard drive, external hard drives that, you know, sits there like in your hand, like about the size of a cell phone. Picture that. This guy had one. He had been in crypto since the beginning. I'm talking about since like 2013, he had been all over it and just buying, selling, trading, working his way up. He had something like, they say, upwards of 570 million British pounds worth of Bitcoin. That's still going to be hundreds of millions of dollars, depending on what the exchange is. And then his roommate threw it away. I kid you not. Yeah, that's grounds for a whooping.
Threw away, like, the thumb drive?
The hard drive. The hard drive is now gone. He cannot access his wallet. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars, pounds, that are in a landfill, he believes, in Newport. Where's Newport? I guess Newport is a British community, actually, British city. Yeah, he's gone to the Court of Appeals in London trying to get the city to give him rights to dig, because there's hundreds of millions of dollars he believes somewhere buried in a hard drive. If he can just get to it, he can crack it back open and get his stuff. And I'm thinking, first of all, it's deteriorating in that land now. Can he even access? I don't know. But you never know. Well, right now, what we're looking at is there's a documentary being made about him, because he has petitioned the Newport City Council. They won't let him have access. He then offered to buy the landfill because he believes it'd be worth it to buy the landfill, make money on landfill operations, but then still be able to dig because he owns it now. They won't let him do it. So now he's gone to the high court asking them to throw out any rejection of his efforts to do this. But he is hitting upon one thing. There's going to be a reality show about his attempt to get his Bitcoin back.
Wow. That is nuts.
That is crazy. Can you imagine coming home? How much of a beatdown did that roommate get?
Probably sounded something like this.
Yeah, but which one was doing the screaming? That's what I want to know.
Probably both
at that point. You can actually spend it. That's one of the things we understand. You can actually spend it. In fact, as I was talking with Paul Breyer a moment ago, I think he even said, well, you may be more astute than I am or something like that. No, not really, Paul. But it does say there are ways to invest in crypto. You can bring it in and out by using PayPal, Cash App, and Venmo are three of the major sources for, I guess, being able to cash out. Whew. All I know, man, is it still feels like Monopoly money to me.
Well, but, I mean, and Paul made a great point of, I mean, I feel like 95% of the human population just uses digital banking. So, like, it's like those are numbers on a screen, like, too. So
and that's exactly right.
So, I mean, it's almost like, you know, this is just the new era of currency, whether you like it or not. I think it opens the door for a lot of, if money is just numbers on a screen, think that's a opening Pandora's box.
Yes, it is.
Just a little bit.
Yes, it is.
But, I mean, that's just where we are.
Next thing you know, they're going to microchip everybody and put the mark of the beast on your forehead.
But I do think, and from what I've gathered, the Genius Act is with stable coins, and which is actually linked to the U.S. dollar. So hopefully that can be a safer alternative. And I'm glad that we actually have a president who's, you know, aware of that world and trying to do something to help it. But yeah.
All right. That's what I know. Hope it's been an education for you, because it was for me. Let me jump in on some text messages and get caught up, because some of y'all have been texting since back when I was doing the monologue. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue, and I'm not one of those normal people who just check out my YouTube videos. I'm not one of those normal people who just check out my YouTube videos, he says. Yes. Also, did you hear that Trump fired the Labor Statistics Commissioner due to weak job numbers? By the way, JP, have you ever heard of domino golf? It's much harder than regular golf. Domino golf? You ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
I have not heard of domino golf. But what was the one you were talking about that Tiger Woods is involved in?
Oh, the Indoor Golf League.
Yes.
It's I can't remember the exact name of the league, but they're pretty much in a like arena stadium, and it's all...
Is it arena golf?
Yeah. Well, no, it's like on a screen. So like the first drive, this is a rabbit hole, but the tee shot is up on one of those screens, the monitors, the big screens, and then they use computer to pinpoint on an actual like green behind it where your ball would have landed.
And you know
and you
what?
Play from there.
You pay your green fees in cryptocurrency.
Well, no, there's no green fees. It's turf. So, yeah.
Oh, Bob from Madison says, I've been dealing in Bitcoin for a number of years through a fund called Grayscale. They have funds of all sorts of cryptocurrencies. I'm currently invested in Bitcoin and Ethereum. Okay. All right. There's somebody who has apparently been in it for years. If you're in it for years, that means either you don't care or you do care. So I'm going to say you probably do care. Thanks, Bob. TL from Huntsville says, on crypto, just got started. You can start in small amounts. You can buy a portion of a Bitcoin. It fluctuates a lot on daily news, like the announcement of the Genius Act. Okay, cool. I'm loving this. I got an audience full of people that already do this. Tom with all the kids says, don't tell anyone. I've got $500 in my wallet, but only because it's time to pay the kids their monthly commissions. Actually, though, my preference is silver and brass and lead, he says. Tom with all the kids. Thomas from Athens says, you can start as small as 1,000th, which is called a satoosh, apparently, fractional part of a Bitcoin, like a couple of bucks each just to play around with it. But you need to understand crypto 101 so you can control it even if an online wallet. But Trump is now talking about stablecoin, which is tied to the value of the U.S. dollar, like you just said. All right. And by the way, their IRS taxes your gains in crypto. Really? They've already found you.
Of course.
Well, gosh.
Any margin of life the IRS can tax you, they're taxing you. So, yeah, that didn't surprise me.
I've never seen it. I never touched it, but the IRS wants a part of it.
Not surprising.
Good gosh. Can I pay you on Venmo? Thank you. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, I trade on the Robinhood app, and I have Dogecoin trading at 20 cents and Shiba in trading at something like 0.000012 cents. Good Lord. Okay. Jack from Huntsville says, about 10 years ago, I was sitting at a bar and the guy next to me was getting hammered and I was soon his best buddy, if you know what I mean. He gave me an inside stock tip in some company that he was with that made this thing called blockchain. Well, I completely ignored it and I have wondered for years if I'd be a gazillionaire if I had just listened. That's a crazy story. That's not your cousin Jack, is it?
No, okay. Not that I know of, no.
All right, tell you what, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll get a few more text messages, take us down to the bottom of the hour. Cryptocurrency 101 is where I've been. I want to hear your thoughts. 833-68-RIGHT. Text me. Tell me. Crypto, yay or nay? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. So I'm finishing up this whole section on the cryptocurrency 101, and I'm asking some of y'all to tell me whether you had a good experience or not with it. Brad from Limestone County says, regarding Bitcoin, yes, generally good experience. And then he said, I talked to, that's related to something different, I guess.
No, he says he wants you to talk to Jeff Pork. This guy named Scott Tindall hosts a Bitcoin cryptocurrency program, apparently has a station on Talk 106.5.
Oh, yeah, down in Mobile. Okay, beyond the blockchain. You know what? I think I may have run across that guy at an API dinner, Scott Tindall. Okay, I will check that out. Thank you very much. Good to know. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, the guy that lost his hard drive, so if he never claims it, where does it go and who does it go to? I don't quite understand how Bitcoin works, I guess. Well, that's a great point. So what happens to Bitcoin that, like, if someone dies, how do you access it? How do you give them the letters testamentary of the estate and say, I want his Bitcoin?
Bob from Madison, the most recent one, actually says, if you buy a cryptocurrency directly, you have to keep a many, many digit number for an unlock code. So that's why you need a crypto wallet, and that's why that's what was on the hard drive, the guy in England you mentioned.
That's right.
So you need a code, I guess.
That's what it was. He can't get to his crypto code. That's what it was. Yeah, okay. Wow. Bob, thanks very much for clarifying that. That's crazy talk. John from Huntsville, Phil, I wouldn't invest in cryptocurrency because I believe it's the groundwork for the mark of the beast. Well, I hear you. David from Huntsville says, I used to roll my eyes when I listened to the host of the Free Talk Live radio show in 2012 when they constantly hyped up Bitcoin as an investment. I should have bought it then for like 25 cents. Okay. And then Shag Nasty the Atheist is Shag's been drinking, apparently. It's never a good idea to drink and text the show, Shag. But he starts off by just basically saying that, you know, the GOP sex offenders, all that again. And then he talks about, he starts about, you know, basically changing scripture to fit his narrative and misquoting scripture because he thinks it's funny. And then he goes into crypto as a pyramid scheme for crypto miners and takes advantage of gullible libertarians. And how do you grifters sleep at night? Shag, put the bottle down, step away from the radio. Anyway, all right, listen, all that to say, there's a whole realm of stuff out there that talks about how to do this. I would just say do it responsibly. Just do it carefully. Just get into it. If you're new to it, get into it in a way that is vetted and is going to be, you know, insured, if you will, something that is stable. But it sounds to me like it's real and it's here to stay. So there's that. Hey, I'm going to touch on one quick story that is in the news right now that is totally off topic, all right? Because I can do that because I own the microphone. But there's something that came out just a little bit, I guess maybe in the last couple hours. Very interesting story. So apparently, you got a call? Well, I'll tell you what, then I'll hold this story because it's not totally breaking. Let me go to the phones real quick. Brad from Limestone County is on the phone. Thank you for catching me real quick. Brad from Limestone County, how you doing?
Hello there, Mr. Williams, the long-time texter, first-line caller, as they say.
Well, glad you're here, man. What can I do for you?
Well, regarding Bitcoin,
yeah.
Let me just say right out of the gate, I am not an authority. There are better authorities than I am. But, for instance, this guy's hard drive that he lost, if he can't recover that thing, those Bitcoins are gone forever. They don't make anymore. I mean, you can mine more, but there's not a way to recover Bitcoins that are lost.
Wow.
So that's kind of weird. It's scary if you have your own wallet that, I mean, literally, if you lose that thing, those things are gone. That's why some people will prefer an online exchange like Coinbase. But, you know, the scary thing there is that somebody can hack Coinbase and they can steal the Bitcoins from you there. So, you know, it's fraught with a certain amount of peril, but it doesn't have any more peril, I don't think, necessarily than, you know, having your dollars in a bank someplace, except that maybe you have the FDIC behind you. But let me recommend one more guy to you that you might talk to. There's a fellow named Jimmy Song, and Song is, you know, just like singing a song, S-O-N-G. He wrote a book called Thank God for Bitcoin. I think he was one of the co-authors of it. And he may be a guy that you can get on to talk about Bitcoin who can be more of an authority than I am.
All right. Hey, that's good stuff. But Brad, do you actually assist others or you just invest yourself?
I bought some a few years ago and have, for the most part, been able to watch it go up. But there have certainly been times when it's gone down. But I haven't done a whole lot with it. I think one of the reasons why people aren't using it so much as currency, they're using it more as an investment, is because there are certain there's a lag that takes place while the ledger is reconciled, and so it takes a little while for transactions to go through. And I think there are certain fees. Again, not an authority here. I might have this wrong, but there are certain fees that can kind of discourage the use of Bitcoin for small purchases. Again,
right.
Check me on that. I might have that backwards.
Nope, I think you're right. Brad, thanks so much, man. We're up against a hard break, but I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Well, as the music's about to play, I will just tell you that Danny from Madison just texted in and says, I've been in crypto for a while. However, I'm really good at buying right before something tanks. He said, maybe we can make a deal. I'll buy and then it'll tank. Then you get in while it's low and we'll split the profits. Ha ha. That's not insider trading. That's called leveraging. Speculating. And then Chef Ben from Aniana wants to know, can I buy a cheeseburger with Bitcoin anywhere? If so, where? Chef Ben, I have not the answer for you on that one.
I feel like very soon you will be able to.
I'm not going to be a bit surprised. Your Bitcoin, they actually have Bitcoin debit cards in some places.
Yeah.
All right, the music is playing. That means we're going to a break. We're coming back, though, and we're switching gears totally. I'll catch up on some more of your text messages later, but right now, we'll take the break, come right back. Got some JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.